In this episode of Fictional Hangover, we talk about unredeemable violent outbursts, opening a sexy candle business, and donuts, 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 in our discussion of Donuts and Doom by Balázs Lorenci. Everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about young adult and new adult and sometimes other books, series, authors, voice actors, and illustrators that is full of spoilers. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire. And today we're going to discuss Donuts and Doom by Balázs Lorenci.
Standard disclaimer. If you haven't read this book, please remember that Fictional Hangover is all about spoilers. If you haven't read and don't want to be spoiled, stop listening to us and go read the book. Then come back. If you haven't done this but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you just like the show so much that you don't care about any of that, then listen up.
You know what goes really well with donuts?
What?
Coffee. And you can get a Fictional Hangover mug from redbubble.com.
Yes, you can.
That was a really bad link. It's literally because I'm just drinking.
Yeah. Fictionalhangover.redbubble.com for all your favorite fictional hangover themed merchandise, including coffee mugs.
What? We took horrible adverts out. We can do our own.
Yeah, that's true. I hope they're gone now. I don't know. I don't actually listen to our episodes, so I don't know. But I assume that they're gone because I've taken out any markers. I've unclicked all the boxes, and I've also, like, said, you know what? Nah. Undo.
Nah, dog. So no. If any listeners hears any adverts on episodes probably going forward, there may be some historically, let us know.
Yes, please. I mean, I don't count the promos from other shows because we choose to put those in.
Promos from other shows. And us talking about Patreon, you know. Yes. Give us money. Join Patreon.
But like, if there's a weird ad about guns, which is like, it was so accidental that I even heard it and found it, but I'm so glad that I did. It was like a woman afraid for her life getting a concealed carry permit so she could carry a gun. And I was thinking, like, okay, well, sure, you're allowed to be afraid for your life, you're allowed to conceal carry, whatever, but our ads that we have on the podcast, like, there are options. And one of the options with the little check mark next to it, except for not next to it, was guns. Like, I don't want to have guns on our podcast. No. But yeah,
I think when we went through the list, it was all like skincare.
Yeah, it was like we permitted women's health, I think, which may be how that one got through. Women's health. Wine.
That's because we were struggling to actually agree to any of them because the categories are very dodgy.
I wonder if the
gun one was actually on the UK version as well. My regular informant of adverts has not said it was, and they are up to date. And my regular informant is my mum.
Yeah.
Hi, mum. So, and she has not heard anything peculiar, so.
Well, you know, I went back to check on it because I sent in a complaint to Podbean about it. Like, hi, I said I don't want this. And then they were like, well, you know, just go back and listen to all the episodes and click the ones where the advertisers are bad. Like, no.
No, dude, we're nearly at 300 episodes.
No.
The end of June will mark our 300th episode, which is also me hinting that we're doing something for our 300th episode.
Yeah.
The end of June.
Yeah.
Which is also an advert for us.
Yeah. But anyway, let's talk about this book and not about weird advertising. Also, we had only made like $7. It's not worth it. Not worth it. This is
that
where
didn't
everyone
even pay for my donut that I had before. No, I had to get in the mood for the episode for recording.
Everyone needs to go and join our, I believe it's up to about $500 now, Patreon tier, wherein you can see my backyard.
Yep, it went up today. Because we are recording a little bit out of order, you may think it's jumped a little bit, but that's because we've recorded something since then.
Yes, something very, very special too.
It was amazing.
Yeah, but you have to wait. You have to wait for it.
Yeah,
for another couple of weeks.
Hear it. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about this episode. Let's talk about Donuts and Doom.
And the background information.
I read a lot of background info, but this one, I thought it was cute and it sounded reasonable. This is from the Honey Pop.
It sounded reasonable.
It sounded reasonable. This is from thehoneypop.com. And they say, when we read, we love to imagine ourselves in the story. What would you do if you lived in Margot and Elena's world? Would you have magic? And Balaz says, knowing my luck, I wouldn't have magic, but I would be drawing comics just like I do now. Maybe I would order potions from my local witch to help with the back pain or to finally catch a good night's sleep. Like, so reasonable.
Oh my
reasonable.
God, I feel that so hard.
So reasonable. But I read several interviews. And another one, it might have been Nerd Daily. I can't remember where that one came from because I didn't save that bit of information. But he was asked, like, what are three things that you want people to know about me? Or three things that are often wrong, and like, this is the correction. And he said that everyone thinks that he's Italian because of his name, but he sounds like Count Dracula. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. I want to hear you talk. But I did not keep that bit of information, but I should have. Because Dracula. And he's from Hungary.
Oh.
Yeah, he's Hungarian. But everyone thinks that he actually sounds like Count Dracula. So, like, I want you on the show. Anyway.
I feel like there's a joke there about being hungry.
With donuts and Doom? Donuts,
yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there should be. Do you have initial thoughts on this one?
Not overly. I think this is one that we found on Hoopla.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that this one came, like, after I finished... It might have been after I finished Snapdragon. And, you know, whenever you finish a book there, it's like, oh, what you should read next. Maybe it should be this one. So,
Hoopla's really good at those recommendations, actually. Their algorithm is absolutely spot on. We found a few that way.
And spoiler alert for if you liked this, try this. That's how I found my book that I'm recommending. So... It was the next one to come up. Yes, okay, I will read that.
It's a good way of finding the graphic novels. It's so perfect though, because who pointed this out? Was it Jackson Ford, that we will read the most gory and psychologically damaging horror, but if it's a graphic novel, damn, we want the cute.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Jackson Ford. It sounds like something he would say. Yeah.
We are filled with multitudes.
We are. We're dead on the inside and glittery on the outside. Shall we dive in?
Yes.
At the witch hub, Margot Grapes is trying to perform magic on a plant for her spell license, but it's not working. And the snide hag, the examiner is being particularly unhelpfully sarcastic about it. Luckily, Margot still has her potion license. Margot stomps out, collecting her hat, broom, and familiar Stanley the Snake from the reception desk, and she decides together, she and Stanley will drown their sorrows in a pile of sweets.
Fair. I fully support this. Margot and Stanley fly to Midnight Froth Donuts, or MFD, where the donuts look perfectly glazed. Elena works there. She's distracted and burns her hand on the hot donut pan, dropping all the pastries. She's been working long hours and had a last-minute band practice, so she's tired and distracted. But she wants their set to be so perfect at the gig tonight. Her colleague, Sue, offers to make a fresh batch if Elena cleans up the mess and serves the customer who has just come in. And that customer just so happens to be Margot.
Margot asks for their largest bag to be filled with chocolate donuts. Unfortunately, it was the chocolate donuts that Elena just dropped. Margot complains that she can't believe MFD, which she had to literally fly across town to, doesn't have the most basic donut ever. Elena points to a poster conveniently located on the wall right next to Margot that the most basic donut ever, it's either plain or sugar, not chocolate. Jang! Well, Margot still feels sassed.
Frankly, Margot is acting like a bitch, taking her rough day out on Elena. But Elena isn't helping with her sassy quips.
Look it, I genuinely hated Margot at this point. Like,
oh, she was being a Karen.
It was so bad. But we can talk about that more later. But no. I, like, had a visceral reaction of hate.
Same. Well, I think we'll get to the... We'll dissect it a bit more. But the general fact is they aren't helping each other's situation or themselves.
No.
As they're arguing over donuts, Elena gestures to all the other delicious flavours they have and spots a snake, Stanley, in the cabinet eating them. Stanley manages to sneak off and has devoured three. Margot shouts at Elena for touching her snake when she picks him up, and Elena is in shock that the snake is both this annoying customer snake and calls Stanley, and then she drops him. Stanley is completely unbothered by the fall, and he's munching on a donut, so he's happy.
He's fine.
But Margot gets scary. Her eyes start to go wild and glow. Magic pours out of her as she shouts at Elena that she only wanted a bag of donuts, not attitude, not her snake being molested, and no donuts. Donuts start to fly. The lights explode, and Elena ducks for cover behind the counter.
Sue comes in, which stops Margot's rage, and she leaves, followed by a happy Stanley eating another donut. Sue orders Elena to sit and eat something before her low blood sugar causes her to murder someone. To me, I feel seen. But it's fine. But murder is kind of bad for business. So, you know, have a donut. Have a snack. It'll be fun. Elena takes a sprinkle donut and eats it in the alley out back.
I just saw you at that point. Eat a donut before you murder someone, Amanda.
Yes. But actually, like, my diabetes is the other way around. So if I had too many donuts, my sugar level would be very, very high. And that is when the rage happens. When my sugar level is low, I'm just kind of dippy and drunk.
Oh, you valley girl. You complete valley girl. I can always tell when your blood sugar's off because you go valley girl on me. Have a snack before you murder someone. There you go. Later that night, with her guitar on her back, Elena heads to Tizzy for the gig. Bob, the drummer, is already there and set up. The crowd is live, so they decide to not start their set yet. However, Vince, the club owner, tells them they only have an hour before the DJ gets there. Elena is not amused and gives Vince a piece of her mind, but he doesn't cower at her anger. Frankly, they both make good points about actually advertising the gig, though Bob, ever the optimist, points out they have 8 people to play to, and that's 3 more than last time. Quickly, they set up and start, but as Elena strums her guitar, a pulse of electrical energy explodes through her and everything fades to black.
The next morning, Margot is still in bed when Dave, the delivery driver, rings her doorbell. They have coffee together, and Dave commiserates with Margot on failing her spell exam, but points out her website is showing great reviews of her potions, and this is the second delivery that he's had to make to her this week. As Dave is looking at Margot's reviews on his phone, a notification pops up. Apparently, someone else had a worse day yesterday than Margot. A guitarist was zapped on stage and it was caught on video.
Oh. When Margot sees Elena on the video thumbnail, she spits out her coffee. asks Dave to send her the link and makes an excuse for him to leave before running to her laptop. Margot pulls up an interview Elena gave about their band, Bird, 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 before watching the video from Tizzy the night before.
Yeah.
It's not good.
You know what is good, though?
The name of the band?
Bird, Bird, Bird.
There's a story there and I want to know it.
I know, I need to know. At the hospital, Elena has had a massive round of tests and been given the all clear to head home. As she's having a juice box, Margot flies through her window to apologize, making her drop the juice box. Elena stops Margot's long explanation to tell her her day got way worse than when she was in there being a mean customer. But then Margot explains that she may have possibly, though most likely, cursed one of the donuts in the cabinet because she was having a crappy day and isn't very good at charms and had ironically failed her charms earlier that day, and then Elena probably ate the cursed donut, and as a result she was shocked at her show. Elena is pissed. She could have died and should report Margot to the witch ministry, but she's glad she survived and it might drum up publicity. As Margot makes to leave, she hands Elena a potion to counter any lingering effects of the curse, but Elena is wary of Margot's magic. Regardless, Margot leaves it on the window ledge and flies off. But before she goes, Margot tells her how good Bird, Bird, Bird is.
Bob picks Elena up from the hospital and she shows him the potion for Margot. He thinks she should drink it and doubts it's poisoned because it has Margot's name and address on the tag. Also, they have a gig on Friday at Tizzy, not because Vince feels responsible in any way, shape or form for the electrocution on his equipment, but out of the kindness of his heart. Also, he'll promote that gig because of kindness, not liability. Besides, a witch from the Witch Hub claims to be able to trace the magic, so she can't sue him for getting shocked. Anyway, Bird 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 needs her at 100%, so she needs to drink the potion. Bottoms up. Instantly, Elena feels buzzed. She feels reborn.
As Bob pulls up at Elena's house, a witch flies over on her umbrella. It's Katie Banks, Margot's snide hag examiner from the Witch Hub, there to investigate what she suspects to be reckless actions of a certain witch, caused by gross negligence and lack of skill. Banks clearly has a personal grudge and vendetta against Margot and is determined to get her banned from the Witch Hub. With glee, she shows Elena Margot's picture. However, Elena says the customer from MFD doesn't match Margot's picture and had a lizard familiar called Trevor or Thomas or something. Definitely not a snake. Definitely not called Stanley. Elena closes down the questioning and Banks flies away. The old bat was giving bad vibes, so Elena wasn't going to give her anything.
Elena uses the address on the tag to visit Margot. Margot is busy packing deliveries, so she invites Elena in. Stanley is overjoyed Elena is there and comes over for scritches.
Guys,
Stanley has always been a good judge of character, and as a witch is familiar, has an intelligence boost, so he's basically the snake version of a golden retriever. Elena reassures Margot that what happened the other day is water under the bridge because they were both having bad days, but the reason for the visit is to tell her about the old bat with bad vibes. Margot is completely clueless as to why Katie Banks is out to get her, but Elena suspects she's a busybody on a power trip. Suddenly, Elena gets a weird magic zap. It seems the curse is still flaring, but Margot reassures her it should pass in a day or two, and in the meantime, she'll make another potion and drop it off in the morning.
The next day, Margot flies to Elena's, where Bird, Bird, Bird is clearly practicing. Bob is ecstatic to meet an actual witch. When Elena offers to pay for the potion, Margot declines because it's her fault Elena needs it in the first place and says that she should have baked her a cake. Well, if Margot won't accept money, they'll give her a song instead. Fantastic! She requests I See You because it's her favorite. Bob tells her to sing with them, which completely freaks Margot out. No, she has crippling performance anxiety, and it's why she struggles so much with her charms. Well, this is only a practice. So Elena throws her a microphone and tells Margot to look at her toes.
The music starts and Margot starts to sing really quietly, but soon gets louder until she's really into it and really good. Suddenly, Elena stops playing because Sue is messaging. She's late for her shift. Margot offers her a lift on her broom, guaranteeing they won't get stuck in traffic. Plus, it's like the second safest way to travel. The first is by shovel.
They arrive at MFD, both enjoying Elena holding on, despite all the safe magic on the broom. Sue spots them, recognizes the witch who almost burned the place down, and Margot books it, shouting, "Text me!" Elena tells Sue she must be mistaken. That's not the same witch from before. Most witches are redheads riding brooms.
Weird stereotype. Later, when Margot gets home, Stanley has a letter for her in his mouth. It's a summoning! And Katie Banks is calling her too. Sue called the witch hub and ratted her out, which unfortunately gave Banks enough ammunition to get the council to agree to summon her to a mandatory priority exam Monday at 9 a.m.
As Margot has a simultaneous rage and freak out, a text comes through for an urgent delivery for a case of relaxing autumn candles. Fine. Margot grabs the box, her broom, and heads out. To Elena, sitting on a bench with chocolate donuts. Elena feels bad because she thinks she's gotten Margot in trouble. Margot assures her it's not her fault, and the old bat is looking for any excuse to kick her out of the witch hub. Margot explains about the mandatory priority exam and that if she fails the exam, she'll be kicked out and forbidden from using magic. Well, if Margot would like more distraction, Elena will put her on the guest list at the Tizzy for Bird, Bird, Bird and their gig the following night. If Elena's gonna flex, who is she to say no?
Friday night, Elena and Bob are set up. Margot looks great and Tizzy is crammed. Margot manages to squeeze through the crowd to say hi to Elena and Bob as they're setting up and being harassed by Vince. Soon they're being introduced and they start playing. It goes great for like 2 whole minutes before the curse strikes. The sound system blows and static feedback wreaks havoc. Vince calls an end to the gig and for safety he has to empty the club in case something blows.
Margot runs to Elena. Though Elena is cured of the curse, it seems like the curse was also in the sound system. It passed to it when Elena's guitar and mic were connected to the system, and her playing must have reactivated it. Elena is devastated and brushes Margot away. Bob tells Margot she's got to do something because he's never seen Elena this hopeless before.
Margot psychs herself up, takes a deep breath, and casts a charm into the microphone. She starts singing. The crowd, which had started to leave, turn at her singing. Margot emanates magic as she sings to a tearful Elena. Margot takes Elena's hand and pulls her up and Bob counts them in. They absolutely rock the Tizzy and the crowd loves them. They really lose it when Elena and Margot kiss on the stage and Bob looks so happy.
I know! Outside the witch hub Monday morning, Margot is holding Elena's hand. They walk in together, but Elena stays in reception with Margot's hat, broom, and Stanley, while Margot goes to face the human-shaped sauerkraut, Banks. Banks was not expecting Margot's confidence as she turns to face the plant she's required to invoke physical change to with magic. Margot counts. 1, 2, 3, 4. Magic!
Magic.
It worked! Yay!
Yay!
But then that's the end.
It is. It is.
That's the end.
Time for a donut break.
Oh, okay. Enjoy this promo from another show.
Hi, I'm Michael.
I'm Barbara.
And I'm Lauren.
We are the hosts of Badass Literature Society, a book review podcast where we take book recommendations from listeners like you, read them, and then discuss them on our show.
Join us once a month as we dive into the books you picked and talk about them.
And don't miss our bonus episodes covering all sorts of random bookish topics that come out in between reviews.
Don't worry, if you want to read one of the books, the first part of each episode is designated spoiler-free, so you can listen and see if you'd like to read it, and then come back and listen to the rest later.
You can find Badass Literature Society on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, and anywhere else you like to listen.
Now, back to the show.
Okay, I know I talked about this a little bit when we were talking about it in the summary, but oh my God, Margot was being such a bitch at the donut shop. It was so bad. I was like, I don't even know if I want to read this because she's such a bitch. And like, Elena was trying so hard, like repeatedly offering her different things. Like, yeah, she started to get snarky, but I mean, someone's being a complete bitch to you. Of course, you have to stand up for yourself. But like, she was like, look, try one of these. Do this. Here, have this one. And she was like, no, I want my chocolate. Ugh. Nah, bitch. Yeah. And then, like, Elena, you know, after the lights shatter above her head, she's like, okay, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And then she's like, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. Like, nah, bitch. She asked you to leave after trying repeatedly to help you. So you need to get the fuck out. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Same. Same. I absolutely hated Margot. I don't know, for me, if she realistically redeemed herself. She was having a bad day. She failed the exam. The sauerkraut was horrible. I get that.
Yeah.
But that is no excuse for you to treat somebody else, somebody in the service industry or anybody, like absolute garbage. Like, the entitlement.
Yeah.
She was the purest form of a Karen.
Yes.
It was horrible. I was like, this is obviously a main character and I'm supposed to like her or empathize or sympathize. I didn't.
Not at all.
Yeah. By the end of the interaction, Elena was antagonizing Margot a bit. Because she was being sarcastic and sassy. But like you say, this was after trying to help her so much. It was just, no. And do you know, the bit that really got to me was the way that Margot accused Elena of molesting Stanley the Snake.
Yeah. No.
That was like, just like gross.
Also, like, why are you not anything against Stanley, because Stanley is, you know, MVP, 100% best character, 1000% best snake ever. But why was he inside? Why did you bring him inside? Why was he in the donut case eating all the donuts? Like, you wouldn't have let your dog in there. Probably Margot would have. She probably would have had like a tiny purse dog that she's just carrying around, like, oh, this is my emotional support dog. Like, I'm sorry, but that's not how this works.
In all fairness, there are more places now in the UK where it's like cafes, less tour restaurants, more cafes, like, and like gastro pubs that are animal friendly, and you can take, like, I can go to the local Starbucks and I could take a dog in if I want. So as a non-dog owner but a dog lover, it's great because I get to see other doggies and they get the pup cups, which is delightful. So I can understand why, is a pet owner, familiar owner, you would take your animal in with you. But yeah, you keep an eye on them. You don't let them go into the cabinet and steal produce.
Yeah.
Margot for me was not a great character, and I don't know if she truly redeemed herself in my eyes. Like, I get that she was having a bad day, but her reaction was so violent.
Yeah.
that I don't see the attraction there. Mm-mm. You know, she gives her a potion to get rid of the curse that she put on her. Fine, that's the least you could do. Yeah. Or she likes the music. Again, that's the least you could do.
Yeah, but you're going to start being nice to her now because she knows that you're in a band and likes your band? Like,
I don't know. I just...
It's not a good feeling for me.
No. Oh, no. And the first couple of pages, I was all set. I was like, oh, my God. She's a cute little witch flying around with a snake called Stanley, and she has a giant witch hat. Love. Oh, no. Oh, no. And I liked Elena because I liked Elena's being, like, this punk rock, black lipstick wearing kind of sassy attitude person.
Yeah.
I liked it. And I don't think Bob, who is her best friend, would suffer fools.
No.
You know, Bob seems like this genuinely nice person, and if you don't spark joy in his life, he's not going to have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I respect Bob's opinion. So I quite liked Elena, but I didn't like Margot, and I just don't feel like she did nothing to redeem herself.
No,
well, not much to redeem herself.
No. No. She needs to try harder for sure. There's a page that I really did enjoy, though. And of course it has to do with Stanley. But I took a picture of it and put it into our notes. I like when she's describing Stanley and like how smart he is, and that like dogs and cats and crows would probably, because they're like more advanced creatures, I guess, than a snake, that they would be able to speak probably and like read. And so then there's a picture of a dog wearing glasses and a tie, and he's got a little speech bubble and like his little teeth are out. And then there's a picture of a kitty cat and she's reading a book. And then there's a picture of a crow with a pipe using stock market, like what?
I can imagine a crow investing in the stock market.
Yeah, of course.
It's not unreasonable.
No, but then there's Stanley drawn as a dog, like, so he's got a little dog head and his little fangs and his little tongue, but then his snake body. I don't know. I just really like Stanley. I think he's the best. He's my favorite character. I've already said that, but I really liked this page. Like, as much as I hated Margot, this was a good page.
I like that as well. I did appreciate that one. I took a few pictures of the different pages as well. And I agree, Stanley is my favorite character. You know, 14 out of 10, good snake, would field all the donuts too.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I want just Stanley. I want Stanley and Bob to go on a road trip.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I need.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get with Margot. I liked Elena. Bob, I trust.
Yeah.
Stanley, I love.
Yeah.
But, you know, what the heck was going on with Katie Banks? And this is, like, I'm thinking this to my surprise. Like, there was no explanation as to why Katie Banks hated Margot. And I know Margot said she doesn't know why, but there's got to be something.
Yeah. I almost felt like we were just kind of dropped into the middle of the story. Like, I need a beginning. Yeah. I need to know what's going on. However, I did just have a thought. You know how we were ranting about Margot going in and being a Karen at the donut shop? Like, she probably has yelled at Katie Banks for failing her exam in the past because, like, I feel like she wouldn't take responsibility for anything at all. So it's like, you're just making it hard on me and it's all your fault that I'm doing so bad. So I can imagine that's probably why Katie might not like her very much. She seems to be an entitled bitch.
Yeah, I agree. She doesn't see the good or the bad because it's Dave, the delivery guy, has to point out the success that she has with a candle business.
Yeah.
Like, she's not monitoring that. And I'm like, hang on, that's not how you run a business. You should be tracking these reviews and these positive stars. You should be using those, you know, hint people. If you want to give someone 5 stars, you give someone 5 stars.
Yeah, please do that for us. Please give us five stars.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, because then you can use those reviews to advertise and to drum up business, because at the end of the day, you can pay for the best marketing campaign, but the thing that's going to get you the business is word of mouth and other people's opinions.
Yeah.
Like, how often do you go on Amazon and you see a product and you're not sure, so you hit the reviews and you check the photographs that have been left, the videos that have been left, and the reviews. Same with Etsy.
Yeah.
I'll go on Etsy, and I love to use Etsy. I like to support local businesses, or, you know, non-corporate businesses, and I like doing that, but I have to check the reviews, and I always, unless it's bad, will leave a review, and I'll only leave a bad review if it's exceptionally terrible service and we've had to have some kind of customer service interaction. Otherwise I will just leave no review. You know, I was trying to think, you know, why about Katie Banks and why she hates Margot so much. And you were like, oh, is it like a Harry Potter thing where she went to school with Margot's mum and Margot's mum was a bitch to her and she's the Severus Snape of the story or something? Or it probably is just something as simple that Margot was disrespectful to her at some point.
Yeah, probably. I don't get good vibes from her. Like, Elena didn't get good vibes from Katie Banks, so I don't get good vibes from Margot.
No, and the way she's drawn with, like, I mean, it's not in colour, it's in, like, blue tones.
Yeah.
With, I think, blacks and greys, and is there pinks? I can't really remember. It's mainly blue tones.
Yeah.
And she looks like a little bit like a Raggedy Ann kind of doll. Like, she's got, like, the curly, she's got my hair when I don't do anything with it and I go to bed with it wet. And it's a curly mess. And she's, you know, obviously, you know, a ginger witch, that's described by Elena. And she's got this, like, little triangle nose.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got this quite a very round face and big eyes. So she's got this kind of, like, genteel look about her. But I wouldn't trust her.
No. Yeah.
I think if Margot was a better character or a better person, more like it, I'd have probably enjoyed the book a bit more. But I think after that really huge, violent outburst at the beginning, you can tell the character of somebody by the way they treat people in the service industry.
Yeah.
Regardless of them having a good day or a bad day. I think sometimes when I'm having a really shitty day, I'm probably nicer to people.
Yes, exactly.
Because I'm scared that I'm going to blow up.
Yeah. Or I'm like, you know, I have just had a really shitty day, so let's make it better. Here's a tip.
Yeah.
I'll buy two donuts. You eat one and I'll eat one.
Yeah. When I used to, you know, if the chocolate donut wasn't there and the person was like, oh, but we do have all these other ones, I'd be like, right, well, I really wanted a chocolate donut. Let's look at the cabinet. And I want a dozen donuts. I want to fill this bag up with absolute deliciousness. But it's got to be, you know, I don't want fruit. I want this or that. Yeah. What do you recommend? I am the person who will say to a waiter, I can't decide between two things at a restaurant. What do you recommend?
Yeah, I do the same thing. I'm like, what's your favorite? Which would you pick? Which one do you think is best? What would you have? I do that. I do that a lot.
Yeah. Because, you know, these people know their job. Their job isn't just to, like, deliver the plate from the kitchen to your table. They have tasted a good amount of stuff that is on that menu. You know, obviously dietary requirements and preferences. But, you know, they know the food and they'll know what happens in the kitchen as well with preparation.
Yeah.
So if something might not be the freshest, and you're being nice to them, they're going to recommend to you the nicer option.
Yeah, of course.
And I remember when I used to work in a contact centre many moons ago. And I used to be the person that had to have the headset on many moons ago. The first call of the day would set the tone. And if it was a shitty call, you had a shitty day. And you can ask anybody that in retail or customer service at all. And if I had that first call and it was horrible, I'd be like, right, I need to change my mental state. I need to not let this affect the rest of my day because I cannot suffer 8 hours of this crap.
Yeah.
So I'd go to the toilet, I'd wash my hands, I'd wash my face, cold water on the back of my neck to help me calm down. Then I'd go and get myself a coffee or a cup of tea and I would sit back down and I would slap a smile on my face like I was some kind of demented maniac about to go on a killing spree. And I would make it so that smile was not just surface level.
Yeah.
And
well, it's
really
because you're not a garbage person.
Brain. Well, I'd like to think I'm not a garbage
person.
I have my moments. But, you know, I would try and make sure that my shitty day is not affecting the person on the other end of the line.
Yes.
And that's something I've always tried to do. So I can't forgive Margot. I'm really upset with the character. And I think I would have enjoyed the book more if Margot wasn't such a garbage person from the beginning.
Yes. I agree. Now, that's not to say that I, like, hated this book or anything. Like, I really liked what happened in the story. I like, oh, it's an accidental cursed donut. Oh, no. And now your band is cursed. Oh, no. Like, and now you're pulling this girl up on stage and she's singing too. And then you kiss and like, oh, it's so cute. I like the things that happened. I just don't like Margot.
Yeah. No, same. It's. Oh, have that blowout where she kind of like is upset that there's no chocolate donuts, but she kind of just goes ah, and then the magic fizzes out and infects the donuts rather than be violent towards Elena.
Yeah,
I don't know. I find it a little problematic that their relationship starts off on such a violent note and Elena's quite forgiving.
Yeah.
And it's potentially even slightly worrisome, but yeah. I don't know. I might be reading too much into it.
I don't know.
But at the same time, I'm also glad that you read that in the same tone that I did as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of makes me think, well, is there something? I'd be interested if anybody else does read the book. It's on Hoopla.
It is.
If you have access to Hoopla. Library service, it's free, you know, great. It's great for comics. Go and have a read and then let us know what you think. I'd be very interested in people's opinions.
Pop over into the Discord and tell us what you think about this one.
Yeah, we do have a general
because we have
chit-chat.
A Discord.
Yeah, we do have a book club specific
we
channel.
Do. We
but
do.
But we also have just a general chit-chat where people just pop
just
in.
Talk about
and
anything.
It can just be absolutely anything.
Yeah.
Mostly book talk, but yeah, absolutely anything. You can get the link on all of our socials.
Yes, you can.
Do it.
Okay, is it time?
It is time.
Pew, 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 pew.
Right, no cursing anybody with your pew-pews. We asked online, would you rather work at a donut shop or an online candle store? And on Facebook, 53% said candle store. On Instagram, it was 67% on donut with donut shop. And, oh, nice and evenly, TikTok also said 67 with donut.
Yes, yes.
It's pleasing when that...
Yeah.
I mean, at least the last number on each of them is the same, but yeah, I like it when that happens.
Yeah.
We had a few comments. Katrina on Facebook said, candle store. If I worked in a donut shop, I would eat too many treats.
Colin on Facebook said, now this is a tough one. I prefer a good donut to a good candle, but I would likely eat all the profits from a donut shop. Or shop with two P's and an E because...
Shoppy.
Colin is from the UK. But that being said, if you work online, you have to put up with all the incredibly entitled keyboard warriors out there, whereas if you work in a donut shop, you can just slap people who upset you upside the head. Donut shop. Now see, no, Colin. No. You do not violently assault people in a donut shop or shoppy. No.
I don't know if it's a shoppy maybe's.
Maybe. Shoppy.
Maybe in a shoppy.
You can.
Because it's pretentious that you've called a shoppy.
Sure.
I mean.
Sure.
Yeah.
Candace
on Facebook said, I picked online candle store only because I love donuts too much and I'd never have any donuts. So candles it is.
Emily on Facebook said, I picked donuts because I'm not much of a candle person.
Claire on Facebook said, working with donuts, I would end up with snacking on them and making myself ill.
Superfan Brie on Facebook said, I'd rather work for a candle shop online because one, work from home potential, and two, you can pay me enough to go back into food service.
Coral Reef Book Reads on Instagram said, candles, love candles, but with it be online, that could be interesting.
Author friend Real Jackson Ford on Instagram said, donut shop. Shouldn't even have to explain why. We all know how Real Jackson Ford feels about food.
Yes. And finally, Crinoline Lefroy on Thread said, I'm assuming there is a candle inventory. I love candles, but too many scents together make my head hurt. I'll take the sugary smell of donuts. Very good point there. Like, too many candle smells and it does... That's like a foggy headache I get.
Yeah.
In the front. Right. I realise I have literally, like, how long have we been recording? 46 minutes. So 47 minutes ago finished eating a donut. It was a lovely sprinkled ring donut.
Yes.
However,
I had a donut for breakfast this morning.
So we're both in the donutty mood.
Yes.
But I'm not the biggest donut fan. Like, I'll give or take them. They're an occasional, every now and again treat. I have to really fancy one.
Yeah.
So I would be perfectly fine working in the donut store. I think I would prefer to do that than candles. But the problem I've got is, at least if I have the candles, I can work from home. And I can sit and, like, have audiobooks playing in the background. Oh, now I'm talking myself around the candles.
Yeah, I have, there's no question, I will pick online candle shop. I like to make things, especially when things have scents. Like, I went through this phase where I was making a lot of bath fizzies. Uh-huh. And so I would put smells into the bath fizzies and then make them, give them, like, silly names and stuff. Or, like, thinking, okay, what does this character smell like in a book? And so then I would try to do that. So I think I would make whatever it is that I'm making, a candle or whatever, I think I would try to make it, like, funny or literary in some way. So, yeah, I don't have any desire to work in a donut shop. I only have donuts because of this episode. Yeah. I don't really want to have anything to do with donuts.
I don't want to be actually, like, frontline retail. I'm going to do candles.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be very specific. There's an Etsy store, which everybody needs to go to. This is, you know, we're not sponsored. This is not an advertisement. I'm doing this because it's just fantastic. It's an Etsy store called Flair for the Dramatic. And the titles of their candles are sublime. And I'm going to buy everybody's Christmas gifts from this shop this year. So, for example, under their vamp and werewolf section, they have Edward and Jacob satisfying your every fantasy in your tent during a snowstorm scent.
Yes.
They have a titsoak
candle,
which, you know, spoiler alert, Amanda may end up getting one day. Edward teaching you the two very different meanings of titsoak.
Yes, thank you. Yes, these are amazing.
There's a Princess Bride one, fucking in the Florian Forest with Wesley Nindigo. I just, there's ones from The Mummy.
It's amazing.
Doing dirty deeds in the desert with Rick Evie and Ardeth. Like, yes, just absolutely perfectly titled. They are brilliant. They're nerdy. They are, I mean, there's cryptid ones, for goodness sake. Yeah. Muffling Your Moans with the Mothman.
Yeah, you need that one. That's the one that you have to get.
It's just, you know, this is the candle, online candle store that I'm going to have.
So, I just found one that I need to buy for a coworker. We've been joking about this. You know, as everyone knows, I've just opened up a new library and, like, had to order all of the books to put in the library. And so I was trying to build our new adult book collection. And every single, I felt like, I don't even know how many book summaries I read for new adult books, like, with the proper, like, 18 to 24 age protagonist, like, starting a new job, all of those things. I swear, more than half of them featured hockey players. So I have found...
What? That's so random.
Yeah, I know. So
is it
I found
a Canadian
one...
publisher by some chance?
Maybe. I found one called Staying Up Until Past 3 a.m. Reading Smutty Hockey Romances Again. And so I have to get that for my coworker because we spent a good deal of time ordering hockey romance books.
That is so freaking random.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can get a candle to match it is just
wild. I know. It's wild. It's wild.
That is amazing. Okay. So we're going to start our online candle business. You do the US side. I'll do the UK side. Okay. We'll get the global market.
Yes. Very good.
We'll take over the world with candles.
Yes.
Smutty candles.
Okay. Next question. Would you rather have a chocolate donut or a plain donut or a sugar donut? Or a cursed donut.
I'm really intrigued by the cursed donut, if I'm perfectly honest. Like, the chocolate one, no, not so much. I'm the biggest chocolate fan. I would go for a sugar ring donut if I had to go for one that wasn't going to kill me. But I'm going to go for cursed donut just to see what happens.
Same. I don't really want any of the donuts. Like, if it's an apple fritter, yeah, I'll take an apple fritter all day long. I love them.
Oh, no.
No,
oh,
I love them.
Cooked apple. Blech,
I know blech, you hate cooked apple, but I mean, I would eat that. Maybe something with cinnamon.
Oh yeah,
but
cinnamon
I don't.
Sugar would be nice.
I don't really want. I don't really care for a plain, like plain
maple
glaze.
Maple glaze is nice.
I don't like maple. I would take one with like strawberry. A strawberry icing, not strawberry fruit, strawberry flavored icing with sprinkles on top.
I just like, and it's not one of the options, but it could be the cursed one.
Sure, the cursed one.
Just a sugar string donut, just a plain sugar string donut. I don't have to have anything fancy to it. Just that suits me down to the ground.
Yeah.
The Greg's Bakery in the UK have a wide selection of donuts. And the Hubby's is a custard donut. They do like a custard caramel donut.
Yeah.
And that's the one he really, really likes.
Yeah.
Just give me sprinkles. All the coloured sprinkles.
I might like a cream-filled donut.
I remember when I was little, my mum used to get these as a massive treat. And they were frozen donuts, but they were frozen with cream and strawberry jam in them, and you had obviously like put them in the oven to defrost and they would heat up and they would get all gooey and nice and they were very delightful. But they were like the biggest treat, and when we found them in the freezer, I was like, oh, mommy's got us the donuts. I think what you would quite like is, like, I don't know if you get them in the US, but bakeries do them over here, and you get them, like, for example, on like an afternoon, if you're going for a fancy afternoon tea. And the donut is like a finger donut shape. And it's slit down the middle, and then they pipe the cream on the top, and then a very small amount of like strawberry or raspberry compote swirled over the top. And they're very nice. They're like fancy patisserie style donuts.
Yeah, no, let me just remind you that in the US we don't have fancy afternoon teas. So
you might get them in cake shops or in a patisserie, but you know, you can get them in the supermarket here at the the patisserie section at the cake, the fresh cake set counter.
Yeah.
They are very nice, those ones. I don't mind those ones. But it's because they're not very donut-y. They're more like, more cakey.
Yeah. Okay, next question.
Would you rather play the guitar or play the drums?
Drums. No question. Drums. I'd rather play the drums.
So you can be loud and bashy.
Yeah, so I can hit things with sticks.
I've got a drumstick. She says. It's all nice. New Patreon people can see.
Yeah.
It's an animal from Muppet's drumstick.
It's amazing. Yeah. I want to hit things with sticks.
Yeah. Same.
Okay.
As much as it'd be fun to play guitar, I want to be able to do the... I can't do the... I've got no rhythm.
Yeah. I do have rhythm, but I don't have the ability to, like, play things. Play intricate things and different notes and things. But I can, like, keep a beat.
Being able to play any musical instrument will be my second superhero power.
Yeah, I would like to be able to play...
Slash Genie instrument. Witch.
Yeah. I don't have that skill.
Last question.
Would you rather fly by broom or by shovel? Shovel.
Shovel, because it's the safest way to fly.
It's the safest way, yes.
It's the safest way to fly, exactly.
Yeah, and I feel like if you parked it somewhere, like a broom... You probably have to lean up against something, but a shovel, I mean, you could just...
Exactly, just ram it into the ground.
Right into the ground, and then it just stands up all by itself. Yeah, I'm going to choose a shovel for
I think if you've got one of those fancy broomsticks as well, like, I can imagine somebody going, ooh, that's nice, I'll have that. But somebody's not going to go, oh, look, a shovel.
Oh, I'm going to steal this shovel. No. So I'm choosing shovel.
Would you rather curse a donut or curse a guitar?
Oh. Donut. Yeah, I would rather curse a donut. Why do we have so many questions today?
We don't have that many, though. I've just counted them.
No? Oh, so no, I think we spent
loads of time talking about donuts.
We did, and then I just read it out of order. I read the wrong question. I'm very sorry.
It doesn't matter. They don't have to be in any order. You can read whichever one you want.
You're right. You're right.
You have autonomy.
That's true. I'm sorry. I thought we were at the end of it.
No, stop apologizing.
I'm not apologizing.
You did. You said sorry like 16 times.
Did I?
Yeah.
I didn't mean it. I don't know.
Even worse. Is that even worse?
I don't know, maybe.
I'm making you take it back, but you didn't mean it in the first place.
I don't think I meant it.
I don't know. I'm going to curse a donut. I'm going to give it to you so that we'll see what happens.
Okay.
And you've already said you're going to eat the cursed donut.
I know. I deserve it. It's fine. Favorite final thought quote?
I'm going to give you some. I don't know how many. I just came up with like 4.5 sassy retorts in like 10 seconds. Yes, antagonize the Karen. This one, quote or real life? I'm super cranky before my first coffee kicks in.
That I'm pretty sure you have said in real life.
Yes. And we're,
yeah.
And again, something else evergreen. All I want is a large pizza and a long nap right now.
Yes.
I over to you.
Okay. Well, I have two that kind of they go together. You are exhausted, and you have low blood sugar. You'll pass out or end up murdering someone if you continue like this. And that's true. And then it goes on to say that murder is bad for business. Yes. And then I also really like... I'm texting with a witch now. Cool. And that I just like that one so much because like I'm just now getting around to watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I feel like it's a very Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
How have you not watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine? I freaking love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I don't know, but we're We're at the last season now. And, I mean, I've heard bad things about the final season.
No, I enjoyed the final season. I really recently watched it again, and I actually enjoy it.
Okay. Well, we're just getting ready to start the final season of it, so. Cool. That's why I picked that one. Okay, if you liked this, try this. What are you going to suggest?
I'm going to suggest, mine is not recommended by Hoopla. I did quickly go onto Hoopla.
Uh-huh.
And I do have a few that I would recommend, but I'm actually going to recommend one I picked up yesterday. Because at time of recording yesterday was Free Comic Book Day. And whenever I go and get my free comic books, I buy comic books as well.
Right, of
course. Because if your local comic book shop is doing all of these events, these free events, you should still support them.
You definitely should.
I supported them by buying comics, which is, you know, never a bad thing. And this one is called Young Hag, and I'm holding it up for the Patreons and Amanda to see. It's a very interesting art style.
Yeah.
It does remind me of another artist, but I cannot for the life of me think who it is. And it's by Isabella Greenberg. And I'm just going to read the back of the book for you. Once there was magic in Britain. There were dragons and wizards and green knights and kings who pulled swords out of stones. But now the doors to the other worlds have closed. Young Hag has grown up believing her mother and grandmother are the last witches in the land. But when tragedy strikes, she turns her back on these tales. Where is their magic when they really need it? Then one day they find a changeling in the woods. Confronted with evidence of real magic, young Hag has no choice but to believe. She sets off on the greatest quest of her life, but can young Hag bring the magic back? Or will she become a footnote in the tale of famous kings and wizards? And the author wrote Glass Town and 100 Nights of Heroes, and this is an imaginative escape into the world of myth. And it reinvents the women of the Arthurian legend and transforming them from the tales of old into a heartwarming coming-of-age story with a contemporary flair. So it kind of ticks a lot of the boxes for me. I do like the Arthurian legends now and again, and I like it when it gets feminised a lot more. And it's got witches. There's a character called Neely Wizened One.
Oh, I like that.
So I think it's got some, there's ancient crone and then the young hag, because obviously witch is coming through. So it's got a bit of a tongue in cheekness about, which I appreciate too.
I like it.
So
I like it.
There we go. It's quite a hefty comic, but it looks really fun. What have you got? What was your Hoopla recommendation?
My Hoopla recommendation, as mentioned previously, is called Sorceline by Sylvia Duye and Paola Antista.
This sounds familiar. I think I might have been recommended after I finished the Donuts and Tomb as well.
Probably. Welcome to the island of Vorn, where magical creatures roam free, and only the brightest students are invited to study them. In book one of this riveting new middle grade graphic novel series, a gifted young cryptozoologist in training must learn to tame powerful beasts, including her own inner demons. Pointed look at Margot. For as long as she can remember, Sorceline has had a knack for the study of mythical creatures. Now a student at Professor Archibald Balzar's prestigious School of Cryptozoology, she's eager to test her skill and earn a spot as one of Balzar's apprentices. But for all her knowledge of gorgons, vampires, and griffins, Sorceline is mystified by her fellow humans. While she excels in her studies, she quickly clashes with her classmates, revealing her fiery temper. Again, pointed look at Margot. When one of her rivals suddenly disappears, Sorceline must set aside her anger and join the quest to find her. But the mystery only deepens, leading Sorceline on a journey far darker and more personal than she expected.
That sounds really good. I've just had a quick look, and yes, I was also that recommended that one, and it looks very, very fun.
Yes, it does.
Do we have any new Unity Spotlight this week?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. I am actually going to suggest Balas Lorenzi's second book because it's coming out June 11th. It's perfect timing that we're covering this book. This one is called Wolf Pitch. And I was like, yes, it sounds great. All's fair in love and music when this supernatural all-girl rock band must beat the odds and become the best band in town. Izzy's a bass-playing werewolf. Geraldine's the ghost of an amazing jazz pianist. Delilah's the meanest drummer in town. They'd be the perfect trio to win the Battle of the Bands. Except Geraldine can't play a solo since she passed away, and Izzy and Delilah are at each other's throats at every opportunity. Can they work through their problems to win the competition, or will they be defeated by Delilah's ex-band and their villainous frontman, Dylan?
Ooh, that sounds good.
Right, and I mean, it's a werewolf playing a guitar. And a ghost pianist. Like, yes, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's with Delilah? It sounds precious. What is with something? Delilah's got to have something about her. Oh, yeah. Oh, she's a vampire.
Me too. I mean, they're at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very werewolf slash vampire thing. So.
And that's not long to wait for this one to come out. It's just over a month away.
I know. It's coming out soon, so. Everybody, cool. Go get that if that you can. One. Yes.
Mint.
All right. That brings us to the end of this episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Claire.
Join us next time as we discuss Assistant to the Villain by Hannah Nicole Mayer, featuring the author for Would You Rather and a really bonkers fun bonus episode.
It was brilliant.
So great.
Was?
Oh. Spoiler alert, it's already happened. Look out for our Would You Rather polls and monthly challenges on social media. Don't forget about our book club on Discord. Be sure to visit our shop on Redbubble at fictionalhangover.redbubble.com for all your favorite Fictional Hangover themed merchandise, and become a patron of ours on Patreon at patreon.com/fictionalhangover. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram, Threads, TikTok and YouTube at Fictional Hangover, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover. If you like this episode, check out our others and be sure to rate, review and subscribe so you don't miss out. And finally, special thanks to Liz Emerson for our music. You can find her on Facebook and Patreon. Thanks for listening.